John chapter number 18, if you'll turn there, we'll read verse number 37 and verse number 38. We'll be moving through the scripture some tonight, and I'll be reading a lot of scripture to you because there's just an enormous amount of the Word of God that I want to give to you on this. We're going to preach on one of the 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years, and that's the defamation of truth, the defamation of truth. And there has been a satanic plot since the beginning of time where God states the truth and the devil comes along and says, that's not the truth, this is the truth. And so I want to talk to you about this. I want us to be a people of the truth. We should be seeking the truth. We should want to know the truth. We should understand where to get the truth. And we should want to live the truth and walk in the truth. In John chapter number 18, if you'll find there verse number 37, we're in the middle of a conversation, the end of a conversation between Pilate and Jesus. If you'll stand to your feet, we'll read these two verses. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, by the way, typical response from a lost person. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. Heavenly Father, bless us as we take a look at this sacred subject, and may we be a people that rededicates ourselves, Lord, to being people of the truth. Help us to love the truth. Help us to understand how to know the truth. And Lord, may we obey the truth and walk in the truth every day of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to spend probably the first 10, 12 minutes of the sermon doing a little bit of review over what we preached last Sunday morning. Not everyone is in the Sunday morning service, and so if you'll allow me that also, for those of you that were in the service, it'll help to bring these truths into your mind and have them there fresh, so that we can build upon them. I said last week in introduction several things about the truth. I said this, honesty is rightly defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We see in Mark 5, verse 33, the woman that was healed of the issue of blood says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth, all the truth. It's a lie when you do not tell the truth. It's a lie when you do not tell the whole truth. It's a lie when you embellish the truth or add something to the truth. It's as much, well, I didn't lie. Well, yes, you did. Well, I told most of the truth. Well, if you didn't tell it all, then you lied. Well, I added just a little to the truth. Then you lied. Then you lied. You know what? The truth ought to be held sacredly. Truth ought to be as treated as sacredly by Christians as we would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. So honesty is rightly defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Number two, I said this in introduction, truth is defined by the scriptures. Now don't miss that. Everything builds on this foundation. Truth is defined by the scriptures. Jesus said in John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Why would they know the truth? Because they continued in his word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus praying to his Father. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, what amazing verse here. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When a preacher preaches the Bible, don't say that's what Brother Jerry believes or that's what he thinks. All right, don't use that cop-out. Have some integrity like these people in Thessalonica had to receive the word of God as it is the word of truth, as the very words of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So honesty is defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Truth is defined by the scriptures. Now listen to me, let's just get this kind of established. If you say something and the Bible says something different, God is true and you are a liar. Okay? Okay? If your opinion is different than God, God is right and you are wrong. If I say something that's opposite of the scripture, God is true and I'm a liar. I'm wrong. Okay? And so this whole idea, well, I think, we need to get that out of our vocabulary. Well, let me tell you what I think about, you know what? Excuse me, I don't really care. I really don't care. Okay, what's God say about it? That ought to be more important than what people think about it. We'll hear a Bible message, see what the Bible says about something, call four people and get their opinion on it, and believe the four people we talk to rather than what the Word of God said. Folks, if you're going to live that type of life, you will consistently and always be following a lie, and lies do something to you. Watch this. John chapter 8, truth is defined by the scriptures. The truth will always make a man free. Lies produce bondage. Truth sets you free. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going to expand upon this in a minute. But when a man reads the truth, seeks the truth, embraces the truth of the scriptures, it always frees him. When we listen to lies and believe lies, it literally binds us. And I believe in a very demonic manner, it binds us. And I'll explain that in a minute. Now, when I got into the message, we looked at several things. Number one, our holy God is a God of truth. It's impossible for God to lie. Both in Titus chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 6, we see that God proclaims it is impossible, in which it was impossible for God to lie. In Titus, we find these words, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when you're talking about God, you're talking about someone who, it is impossible for God the Father to lie. Jesus and the truth are synonymous. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit is given this title three different times in the book of John. John 14, John 15, John 16. He is called the Spirit of Truth. Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so God is a God that cannot lie. Jesus has taken as one of his titles, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now, if you want to know the truth, you're going to have to go to God. If you want to know the truth, you're going to have to go to God. And God will never lie to you. What God tells you will be true, okay? And so you can trust the Lord. A holy God has given us a holy book that contains truth. Preacher, I'm like Pilate sometimes. What is truth? How do I really know what the truth is? Truth is defined by this book. This book contains the truth. Galatians 2, 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, but that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses that talk about the gospel is the truth. But the Bible doesn't all just contain the gospel truth, it contains living truth. John chapter 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now watch this. He said to those that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Which leads us to believe that just because they got saved doesn't mean that they were free. Now they were free from eternal damnation. They were free from the penalty of sin. But that doesn't mean that they weren't still bound by a lot of things. Hey, when you first got saved, you know what? You didn't become perfect. You didn't become like Jesus instantly. You had to continue in the Bible. And as you listen to the Bible and learn the Bible, learn the truths of the Bible, you begin to understand there was things in your life that you needed to get rid of. And as you obeyed the truth, slowly you began to become more and more free from the bondage of sin. That's called growing in grace. John 8, 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Jesus is the word. And you know what? He never spoke anything but the truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book contains the living truth. You can go to this Bible and whatever it says, it is the truth. 2 Timothy 2:5, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James 1:18, the word of truth. And so a holy God has given us a book, and the scriptures contain the truth. So we know that this is true. I don't know if everything you're going to say is true, and you don't know if everything I would say, if Jerry Ross just given his opinion, is true. But we know that this book is true. And so if you want the truth, it's here. Thank God we live in the United States of America. Most of us have many Bibles in our house. Many Bibles in our house. You have an access to the Word of God if you want it. Okay, for a very few dollars, you can get an entire copy of the King James Holy Bible, and you've got the truth. You've got it right in your hand. So a holy God's given us a book that contains the truth. Now, watch this. God sends his men to preach the truth. The Word of God should always be preached and taught in truth. Now, you say, well, that's a no-brainer. That's the way it should be preached, but it's not always preached that way in this day and age. But it should be always preached and presented and taught in truth. Paul said, for if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Paul said, listen, when I preached and when I taught you, I told you the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of honesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Festus told Paul he was mad. And this was his response: I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And if there's a pattern that we see in the scriptures, Jesus certainly set that pattern, Matthew 22, Mark 12, that when he spoke and when he preached the truth. So God calls men to preach his book. And when a man of God stands up before you with the word of God and preaches the truth of God, you know what? You need to take it as that, as the truth of scriptures. Now that's the one side of the coin. God is truth. You know what? God can't tell a lie. Jesus is synonymous with truth. The Holy Spirit will always try to guide you to the truth. We have a book in which we can take everything that's said and compare it to the Bible and see whether it's true or not. We have men that God's called to preach and teach the Bible so that people will know the truth. But wait a minute, that's one side of the coin. Let's flip to the other side of the coin. Just as much as God is the truth and for truth, the devil is the father of all lies. Now this is very important. I know I'm reviewing, but these are important foundational things that we'll build upon tonight. From Genesis chapter 3, we have a situation where we've got to choose to believe somebody because two people are saying two different things. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now wait a minute, God said, if you eat of it, you're going to die. The devil said, if you eat of it, you won't die. Wait a minute, somebody's telling the truth. Wonder who's telling the truth here. Somebody's telling a lie. Somebody's a liar. Now watch this. Jesus tells us who the liar is. In John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, it's very important that we grasp this. Young people, you give me your hearts and listen to me. And adults, you listen just as intently. We've got this idea, we've been sold this bill of goods about a little white lie. No lie is ever little and no lie is ever white. Okay? If somebody tells a lie, the devil had something to do with it. He not only is a liar, but he fathers every lie. I want you to think about that in a biological sense. He fathers every lie. That means he interacted with one of us and produced a lie. It's impossible to tell a lie or repeat a lie without opening a demonic door of influence into your life. That's why when I begin to see people that just become habitually, lie habitually, they're Christians. And you know what? They're either not telling the whole truth, or they're constantly exaggerating the truth, or they're just flat lying about things and they're doing it on a regular basis. I'm scared to death for that person. You may say, well, young people shouldn't mess around with Ouija boards because that opens satanic doors. It's impossible to tell a lie without interacting with the devil, without opening your life to demonic influence. Now, wait. That ought to cause every one of us to pause before we speak. Okay, is what you're about to say the truth? And you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. Not you heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone. You know it's the truth. If it's not, shut up. Shut your mouth. I'm saying that for your benefit, for your good, to rescue you from satanic influence, keeping you from opening a door of satanic influence into your life and into your home. Okay? You better think about what you say, young men. Your mom and dad ask you a question. You want to give a partial truth because you don't want to get in trouble. You do not understand that you are beginning to partner with the devil and you are allowing him to have demonic influence in your life. And you may think you can turn that spigot on and turn it off anytime you want, but I'm telling you, there's Christians that I know that are demonically oppressed, not possessed, but oppressed. He literally takes them captive at his will. And because they simply will not repent of one major sin in their life, and here it is. They will not repent of the sin of lying. They do it regularly. They do it all the time. I mean, half the time, you're looking at them, and the thing they're telling you, you're sitting in the back of your mind saying, there is no way this is no more the truth than pigs flying. But you know what? They'll just sit there and just convince you. I've had Christian school kids sit in my office and look me in the eye and lie to me. Out lie to me. You can sit there and look at, okay, you can say whatever you want, but you sit there and look at a preacher, and you can lie to a preacher with a straight face and walk out, and you don't even blush about it. I'm scared for you. You can lie to your mom. You can just flat out lie to your mom and then go to bed and sleep that night. I'm scared for you. I'm scared for you. You get on the phone, spend the entire week on the phone and Facebook, you know, peddling lies, trading in lies, spreading lies, things you don't even know that's truth, and you don't even have a guilty conscience about it anymore. I'm scared for you. Now, folks, listen to me. The devil is the father of all lies. This is an amazing, some several verses here. Peter said to Ananias, remember when he lied? Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Man alive. Check out that word filled. Study it out. That ought to scare you to death as a Christian. This is a Christian man. And yet it was Satan that filled his heart. You know what? That means in order to tell this lie, Ananias had to open a door of influence into his very heart and let Satan influence in him. You begin to do that. That's why some of you can't, you know what? You can't hardly tell the truth when you try. You've just gotten so used to lying that it doesn't even mean anything to you anymore. Hey, the truth ought to mean something to a Christian. Young men, I don't know what's funny down here, but you're just about to go sit with your parents. Amen. I'm not up here for your amusement and your entertainment. Amen. Do you understand me? Right. Do you understand me? I can't hear you. Do you understand me? All right. Okay. Satan hath filled his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? All right, again, all scripture given by inspiration. These words are important. Bewitched you. We're talking about the occult. We're talking about satanic influence. When somebody comes alongside somebody and tries to get them not to believe the truth, wants them to trade in the truth for a lie, you are becoming an agent of Satan trying to turn somebody from what is true. This is not some little thing. Okay, you study this from Genesis to Revelation, the truth and the lie, truthfulness and lies. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll walk away understanding the truth is a sacred thing. Okay, you don't want to be involved in dealing with this. Wherefore, Paul wrote in Ephesians, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth. 2 Thessalonians 8:10, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, Satan is the father of all lies. Let me give you this. Satan uses deceivers to turn men from the truth. Just like God calls men to preach the truth. Satan uses deceivers to turn men from the truth. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I can tell you who they are. Somebody that Satan has influence and has control in their life and is going to people trying to turn them away from the truth. Galatians 5:7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Anytime you see a Christian that's going well and running well, and all of a sudden they're hindered, isn't it interesting? Paul asked this question immediately. You did run well. What happened? Here's the question. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You know what I often say when I see somebody that's dedicated to the truth, living the truth, obeying the truth, excited about the truth, enthusiastic about the truth, and all of a sudden they begin to backslide? I always say this. Who's got their ear? Who got a hold of their ear? Who got influence in their life? Wait a minute. They were doing great. They were doing good. They were excited. They were serving the Lord. They were becoming more and more separated, more and more involved. Wait a minute. Who got a hold of their ear? A liar did. Some liar got a hold of their ear. Satan uses deceivers to turn men from the truth. Titus chapter 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not to for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Paul was not afraid at all to call people out in the letters to these churches and warn them about listening to people that turn people from the truth. 2 Peter 2:1, and there were false witnesses also among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's amazing. People that are trying to embrace the truth, live the truth, believe the truth, seek the truth, all of a sudden are being evil spoken of, and those that peddle in lies somehow is right. That's what the devil tries to do. He comes to Eve and he says, hath God said? Wait a minute. You shall not surely die. And he's always trying to convince people that those who believe the truth are, and you'll fill in the blank, whatever you want to say, you know, robots, whatever you want to call them so that you feel better about yourself. But, you know, like they're defective because they come and listen to the preaching and actually listen to it and obey it. And they embrace the truths of God's word. And you're the enlightened spiritual one because you cluck your tongue and shake your head and talk down the truth. And it seems like good has become evil and evil has become good in this day and age. Every man must decide if he wants to hear truth or if he wants to hear lies. Now, this is something that you have to make a decision in your own personal life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, when is that time? It's going to be in the last days. Anybody here with any spiritual sensibility think we're not in the last days? So that time is now, church. Right now, at this time, it has come that there are people that will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, watch this, their lust, their desire to do something that they know is against the truth. I want you to hear me very clearly. You get two or three backsliders together that really don't want to live right, and they can sit at a table and they can talk themselves out of having to obey anything. They can logic it, they can talk it, they can say, well, I don't think that scripture really means this. And by the time they spend a couple hours, guess what? Nothing is wrong anymore. They can talk themselves into not going to church. They can talk themselves into being immodest. They can talk themselves into cross-dressing. They can talk themselves into drinking booze. Yes, sir. And they're still a good Christian by doing it. And they're doing it, folks. I mean, people used to attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church that now turn around and attack this church, are involved in everything that I just listed and more things I could list. And you know what? In their mind, they're fine and we're wrong. Now listen to me. You got to decide. Don't be shocked when these verses come to pass, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to go find somebody, some preacher in some supposed Baptist church where they can sit and they never have to hear the truth. The man's a hireling. He's not a shepherd. He's bought and paid for. He gets up and mumbles through a little sermonette, never preaches against sin, never calls anything out. And these backslidden Christians are flocking to these churches, and that's where they want to go because they're never going to have to hear the truth. They're never going to have to hear it. Now, you have to decide. Do you want to go that way? Then I guess you'll go that way. But I don't know about you. As a Christian, I want to know the truth. I want to be sitting in a truth, a church where somebody speaks the truth. I want to hear all of the counsel of God. I want to hear it when I can say amen, and I want to hear it when I have to say oh me. I mean, I want to know the truth. Because see, if I know the truth, then it'll set me free. If I obey the truth, it'll set me free. If somebody don't tell me the truth, then you know what? I'm going to be bound. I'm going to be captive. I'm not going to go somewhere and listen to somebody get up there and lie, whether they lie outright or lie by omission, by not speaking the whole truth. I don't want to be in that situation because, see, I'm not in a place where God is being uplifted and glorified. I'm in a place where the devil has rule and reign, and I don't care what the name of the church is or what it says on the sign. Galatians 4:16. Paul says it's one of the saddest statements in the Bible for a preacher to have to say to a people, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And yet, if you talk to any preacher, I mean, you dial up any preacher still standing for the book, and if he was willing to do it and transparent enough, he could tell you a couple hours worth of stories of how people have broken his heart. People that one time loved him and listened to him and came and had a Bible open and a right spirit and was excited and involved, but they got under the influence of some liars. And now they not only left his church, but they count him as an enemy. And to me, that's one of the saddest things in all of the Word of God. But you know what? God's given you a free will, and you have to make a decision. But once you go the direction of lies, I want you to understand something. You can't go that direction without going into the path of Satan and into that direction in your life. And it may not seem like the easiest thing to do for a while. And you might even think you're free for a while. But the devil, he payday someday, as we mentioned this morning. He pays in spades. And you know what? You may think that the devil's free in you, and pretty soon you're going to be in bondage. And you're not only taking you down that road, you're taking your children down that road. Now the subject matter tonight, preacher, the defamation of the truth. What's happening? The truth is being defamed. Truth is being defamed. Truth is being demonized, and lies are being propagated as truth. Preacher, why is it so important that we stand with the truth and know the truth and believe the truth and live the truth and walk in the truth? Let me give you several reasons. This is a sermon tonight. Number one, the truth will always reveal to us our sinfulness. The truth will always reveal to us our sinfulness. Now go to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to have you move around because these things are worth hearing and worth seeing. The truth will always reveal to us our sinfulness. If you're somewhere where somebody's talking to you and telling you stuff and you always leave feeling good about yourself, they're not telling you the truth. You know what flattery is? Watch this. Some of you being sucked in by flattery. Somebody that comes to you and no matter what you've done wrong, they'll tell you, you're not wrong, the other person's wrong. Now, if you come to Jerry Ross, if you come to your pastor and you've done something wrong, you explain to him, I'm going to say, now that was wrong. But see, people don't want to hear that they're wrong. They don't want to hear that they're sinful. They don't want to hear that they've done anything wrong. And so they want to go to someone who's going to lie to them. But if you go to the scriptures, come on, church. If you go to the scriptures, you're not going to tell me you can read this book without very quickly and at some point in your interaction with the Word of God getting under conviction, because the Bible will tell you the truth about yourself. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, notice this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. And so if you interact with the truth, you know what the truth is going to show you? That you have sin. Okay? That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. I love being a preacher. I love it. I love preaching the Bible. But I'm going to tell you this. One of the responsibilities, one of the problems of preaching the Word of God is that you have to say things that people no longer want to hear. They just don't want to hear it. Preacher, I'm not sure that was a Sunday morning message. That was a perfect Sunday morning message. Well, some of the things you said, you know, some of our new folks, they need to hear the truth. How are they going to change if they don't hear the truth? How are they going to not end up outcast and backslidden by the end of a summer if they don't hear the truth? There's people that came this morning and they loved hearing the truth. There's other people that sat out there and act like they were at the dentist. Okay, but that just comes with the territory. I get it. I accept it. Okay, I'm not a novice. Okay, I didn't fall off the turnip wagon. I drove it in tonight. Okay, I've been doing this a long time. And part of the things that come with standing up and preaching the Word of God without apology is that not everybody's going to like it because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth for the most part because the truth always reveals our sinfulness. If you're in a church and you walk away every Sunday or every service and you always feel good about yourself, you're not in a Bible preaching church. Either that or you've reached sinless perfection. Now, which is it? Because if you say that you have not sinned, you deceive yourself. The truth's not in you. Look at verse number 10, same chapter. If we say that we have not sinned, we make, watch this, him a liar. Now, listen to me, folks. There's all kind of people. You got to understand. You got to be wise enough to pick up on things. If there's somebody that every time they talk to you, they're trying to convince you or tell you something that somebody else did wrong, but they have never once in their life owned to doing something wrong. Never owned to doing something wrong, but always can tell you what everybody else did wrong. Okay, that's the type of person these verses are talking about right here. All right, don't get sucked in it. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, his word is not in us. Now, what I'm saying is this, the truth, if you go to the scriptures and you go to a Bible preaching church and you go to a Sunday school class where they teach the word of God, that Sunday school teacher, young people, are sometimes going to get up there and teach on some things. And you know what? The verses and the chapter and the story that they're teaching is going to reveal to you your sinfulness. Okay? And they're doing you a favor. You say, what's the purpose of that preacher? Watch this. Number one, the truth will always reveal to us our sinfulness. Number two, the truth will lead to sanctification. Now go to John 17, if you will. John chapter number 17. John chapter 17. The truth will reveal to us our shortcomings, our sinfulness, the areas of our lives that we need to address. Why does God do that? Just so he can put us on a guilt trip? Just so he can make us feel bad? So just so he can condemn us? No. He does it so that he can sanctify us. John chapter 17, the entire chapter is a prayer. Jesus is praying to the Father. Look at verse number 17, John 17, 17. Jesus says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at verse 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the what? Now, listen, if your pastor tells you something and it's the truth, I'm doing it not to hurt you. I'm doing it. So listen, if that truth reveals to you a shortcoming in your life, you don't get mad at me. Okay, God's using me to help you. The word of God is becoming your friend. Well, I just don't want to hear. You don't want to hear the truth? What do you want, a lie? You want somebody to just come up and sing you a song and pat you on the head and ignore all the scriptures and just make sure that every time you leave here feeling good about yourself, your marriage, and your children? Because I don't ever want to feel bad about any of those things. Don't you want the truth? The truth will lead to sanctification. See, as the Bible reveals to me my shortcomings, then I have an opportunity to do something about them. And as I correct the areas of my life that the Bible shines light on, as I mentioned this morning, I become more and more sanctified, more and more separated. Now, one of the things that will be a great indicator where you're at. If you're listening to truth and you're hungry for the truth and you want truth and you have for the last 2 years, I promise you, you are in the process of being sanctified. And right now you can look at your life. And where you were 2 years ago and where you are now, you are more sanctified, which means set apart from the world than you were 2 years ago. Now, if you're listening to lies and you're embracing lies and you're being influenced by lies, then you're going the other direction. See, lies will lead you deeper into sin. Lies will lead you deeper into satanic influence. Lies will constantly try to okay worldliness and carnality. That's what lies do. But the truth shines like a bright spotlight on those things. And as you pursue Jesus Christ and God the Father, spend time in His presence, who is truth, who is holy, one of the things it does is reveal to us our shortcomings and allows us opportunity as the Spirit of truth brings us under conviction by studying and hearing the Word of truth. It allows us to deal with things, and slowly we go through this process of growing in grace and becoming more sanctified and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to me, if you're being influenced by truth, you're going this way. If you're being influenced by lies, you're going this way. Okay, by the way, I just told you the truth. If you're less excited about Jesus than you were a year ago, I'd say, hey, who are you listening to? All right, you're less excited about serving the Lord than you were a year ago, who are you listening to? If you lived a more holy, separated life a year ago than you're living now, I'd have to say, you know, who's lying to you? Who's got your ear? Who's got your heart? Because you're not reading this Bible, and this Bible is okaying your journey towards worldliness. It does not do that. That's blasphemous to suggest that. What it always does, Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, sanctify them, set them apart. Set them apart from worldliness, from sin, unto yourself through the truth. Thy word is truth. So you come to an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church with a preacher that preaches shotgun straight, and you know what? As he preaches the truth, your sinfulness, your shortcomings are going to be revealed. You can get mad. You can go over with a bunch of other backsliders. You can cluck your tongue and talk about what an evil person and how unkind he is and uncompassionate he is and how you don't think you want to go here anymore, and then you start working on your husband. Or you can follow under Holy Spirit conviction and say, good night. Thank you, God. There's an area in my life that I need to get fixed right there. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like the Word of God. That's the direction I want to go. I'm going to find an old-fashioned altar. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get right. I'm going to change that. I'm going to get victory. By God's grace, I'm going to get victory over that. You know what? You take another step towards Christ's likeness, and then you go and listen to the Word, and you read it every day, and God convicts you of things, and you take care of things, and you begin to grow in grace. You begin to grow in grace. And as long as you are listening to the truth, it is not taking you towards the world. It is not taking you towards carnality. It is taking you towards the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're heading this direction, you have fallen under the influence of lies. I say it without apology. If you're heading this direction, you know what? You're responding properly and listening and interacting with truth. And you know what? Truth will always continue to sanctify or set apart an individual for the work of God. I want to show you something else. Go to John chapter 4, verse number 23. There's other verses I could read. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Truth leads to sanctification. Did you get that? If we say we have fellowship with Him. Well, I read my Bible with I pray. We say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. A lot of people living a backslidden carnal Christian life claiming to be a great Christian. And they're not. They've lied to themselves, they've lied to God, now they're lying to you. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to follow a lie or follow the truth. Now watch this in John chapter 4. Preacher, why is this important? Because true worship, look at John 4:23. True worship is impossible without truth. True worship is impossible without truth. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know what God wants? He wants people to seek the truth and be separated and sanctified by the truth so that they're in a position to give Him truthful, true worship. Okay? True worship. Let me finish reading this because he goes on. Notice this. We read the whole thing. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship Him in flesh and in carnality, and you can't listen to him when you're bound by lies. You can't. In that state, you cannot offer to God true worship. These praise and worship people, all these flesh-driven nonsense, wicked, carnal, marrying, by the way, heathen worship, as I spoke this morning. They got in bed with Jezebel. Heathen worship, and try to connect that to worshiping God. So they got this flesh-driven nonsense, you know, fueled by carnality. That is not worship. Okay, if you're going this way and you are fleshly and you are carnal and you are have given your heart to believe lies and you lie against the truth, you cannot then pick up your songbook and open your heart and say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It kills your worship. Okay, but as you sanctify yourself through the truth, as you seek the truth, want the truth, respond to the truth, let the truth change you, walk in the truth, obey the truth. Every time you do that, your worship becomes a little more pure and a little more true and a little more pure and a little more true. And there is nothing quite like walking into a congregation where people are separated unto God and hungry for the truth. And clean in their hearts and confessed up before God. I didn't say a perfect people, but I said a holy people, a spiritual people, a separated people. They worship in such a way that makes this stuff look sickening in comparison. And so it is impossible for you to ever truly worship God if you do not worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see these verses, Ephesians chapter 6. It's all right, turn the pages, it's good. Amen. That's the truth you're holding. Hey, what are you scared of? Why don't you want to look at the verse? What are you scared of? Oh, you already got your mind made up about this stuff. You've already bought into whatever lies you're going to believe and nobody's going to change your mind. Okay, then fine, but you're going down a path. You're going down a path, and I know what's at the end of that path. So you're not the first teenager that's made this decision in your life. You're not the first young couple that's made this decision in your life. I've seen this over and over and over again. So you know, you got to decide. You got to make up your mind. Now watch this. Watch this. Truth is a part of the armor of God. And parents, I'm going to deal with this very carefully, I promise you. But truth is a part of the armor of God that provides purity protection for the believer. Why is the truth so important? Because I promise you, when somebody begins to believe lies and pursue lies and embrace lies and live lies, your purity is at risk. See, the truth will always drive you towards purity. And lies will always drive you towards immorality. Okay? You say, where do you get that? All right, let's read this. Verse number 13. Ephesians 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your what? Loins girt about with truth. Now your loins is from about your belly down to your knees. All right? That's the area of your life, that's the armor of God. Protects your purity. Protects your purity. Now, let me tell you how a young person ends up failing miserably in the area of morality. At some point, they begin to lie. They begin to not speak the truth. They begin to believe lies. And eventually, they'll blow it right here. Mom and Dad asked, where were you? Just uptown. And you weren't just uptown, were you? Who you been calling and texting? Oh, nobody. Hey, is there something going on we need to know about? No. You seeing this young man? No. I mean, I see him every once. Oh, we're just friends, but there's nothing going on. And you begin to lie, and you begin to lie, and you begin to lie, and you know what? You're heading right into a moral catastrophe. You ought to be 100%, young people, transparent and honest, 100% with your parents. Technology, I hate it. I hate it. I do. If I could turn the clock back, I'd take you back to where nobody had a cell phone. I would. Say, how in the world could you live? Well, we did fine. Yeah. I even had a job. Had to drive to my job without a phone on me. Oh, my goodness. Well, what if you had a flat tire? Well, you got out and fixed it. That's what you did. You follow and fix it. Well, what if you're a lady? You put your hood up and wait for some kind person to come along and fix it for you. If I could make the internet go away, I'd make it go away in a heartbeat. Say, is there some good to be? Yeah, there's some things that are good, but watch this. Satan is the prince and power of the... Buddy, that's his arena. That's why our PA system's always acting like it's of the devil. Amen. If there's a problem, it's the PA system, man. Guys out back there doing the thing. I'm turning knobs. I don't know why it won't do it. I think because the devil gets it. I mean, honestly, you talk to every preacher in every church, and you know what they'll say? I'm gonna blow that thing up. Maybe we ought to just turn it off and holler. I don't know. Drives you crazy, son. But isn't it interesting? Watch this. Airwaves. Started with radio. Oh, that's helped America. Very glad for Christian radio? Yeah, but Christian radio is a drop in the bucket compared to what is on the airwaves. This little thing right here has caused more young people, Christian young people, to backslide than anything else in the world. And I'm glad, and I know you want it. I understand you're excited about getting it. But for the first time, you get in the car by yourself. Mom and Dad's not there to control the radio. And guess what? Come on now. You can sit there and lie to yourself about this all you want. You're not going to lie to me about it because I know the truth. How come right after they get their driver's license, the most of the kids around here start having spiritual problems and bad attitudes? Because some heathen lied to them and said, you can listen to country west music and it doesn't affect your spirit. It doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't bother you. It's not going to do anything to you. It's just fine. It's just fine. It's just fine. And you believed the lie. And since then, you've grown into a spiritual giant. And when I said the 10,000 tracks, man, you almost came unglued out of your seat because you're so excited about that. Because, man, George Strait has two or three songs about passing tracks out. I mean, you know. Come on. Dixie Chicks love that soul-winning stuff. I mean, come on now. They're right in there with that stuff. Now, listen, if you want to live a lie, live one. But don't be mad at me for not believing the same lie you believe. Okay, what else produced the air? Oh, and then TV came along. Well, folks, come on now. If we went back in the time capsule and you went and visited the United States of America, before all these inventions, you would find a Christian nation. I didn't say everybody was a Christian, but even people that weren't Christian act more Christian than people that are Christian today. Yeah, they do. They did. So, you know, don't fuss with mom and dad about you needing an iPhone, iPad, iPod. Isn't it funny how they all begin with I? Isn't that the word the devil used when he was wanting his way? I like this. I'm having a good time. Some of you are so addicted to technology. Oh, I'm not addicted. All right. If you're not addicted to it, you know the deal I'm always telling you. All right, good. All right, we're just at the beginning of June. Just don't use it this month. Now, you're not addicted to Facebook. Well, then you don't need it in June and July. You can take that time and pray about the souls we're going to try to get saved. You can't. Somebody told me this the other day. They say the average American reaches for their cell phone every 96 seconds. Even if it's not doing anything. If it's not doing anything, they just pick it up and look at it. I thought that was crazy, but it's true. Watch people. They're not even getting a call, and they got to check it. Because if they're not getting a call, they want to know why they're not getting a call. If they're not getting a text, they're sitting there saying, well, I wonder why someone's not texting me. That cell phone has more of your attention than Almighty God. Do you check with God every 96 seconds? Yeah, this is good, man. It's the truth. It's the truth. Turn that silly thing off. You want to have a spiritual summer? Check out. Check off. all these computer sites. Just check off. Check out. Some of you are going to go through withdrawals. Nothing's funnier than taking kids to camp where they don't have their cell phones. I've walked by kids at camp with nothing in their hand and they're going like this. Are you okay? I think so. Who have you become a servant to? Come on, what controls your life? Can they properly be? Can they be used as a tool? Yeah. Do the average Christian use it that way? No. The technology causes us as Christians to have to develop a level of discipline in our life that most of us don't have anymore, and a level of character that the average Christian don't know anything about. And if it comes down to it, this is what I've always said. Your preacher, can I have a radio in my car and listen to good stuff? You can, but if you can't, pull the wires out of the back of it. Can I have a TV and use it properly? I guess, but if you can't, then jerk it out of the wall and get rid of it. Can I have a cell phone and not get it? Yeah, you can, but if you can't, get rid of it. Some of the wisest young people I've ever seen in my life, and I've had them do it. I've challenged them to do it and actually had them do it. Have gone to their parents who allowed them to have a cell phone and say to mom and dad in all honesty, I'm talking about truthfulness, mom, dad, you know what? I don't need this thing. It's doing me more harm than good. I just assume you keep it. If I need to use the phone, I'll use yours. But you know what? It's not worth my spiritual life. It's not worth my future. Amen. I mean, they have instances where young ladies, and this is in the news on a regular basis, young ladies, young men, get in trouble with their cell phones, the parents take it from them, and the kids try to commit suicide. That's craziness. That is craziness. They've got it now in most of the public schools. Teacher can't take a cell phone away from a kid. Can't do it. It's your right. It's their right to have one. Their right to have one. We gone crazy. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. This idea, listen. It's that the armor of God, truth is a part of the armor of God. If you can't be truthful and honest about these things in your life and the influence that they're having in your life, then your purity is at stake. You can lie to your parents, you'll lie to God. And if you'll lie to your parents and you'll lie to God, you'll lie to yourself. And you'll believe the devil and you'll end up messed up. Now, what are the advantages of the truth? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. We'll finish here. This will be the last verse we turn to. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The truth will reveal to us our sinfulness. The truth will lead us to sanctification. True worship is impossible without the truth. Truth is a part of the armor of God that provides purity and protection for the believer. 80% of marriages that are breaking up right now, Facebook had a part of it. 80% of the marriages that are ending in divorce right now, Facebook had a part of it. That's the truth. That's the truth. Some of you just don't understand. I don't want pastor has such a problem with it. I was thinking, Brother Tom, me and you, we ought to just get Facebook pages. Yeah, I'll get one if you get one. And we won't accept anybody as our friend. I think that's what they call it, your friend or whatever. We'll accept each other. I know. That's the point. We won't even have to mess with it, man. Now let's do this. Once a year, I'll get on there and say something to you. And then once a year, you get on and say something to me. And then we'll wait another year and we'll do it. Or we could just wait till we see each other at church. Of course, we wouldn't have private messaging, which is most of the problem. Yes. Well, I've been to their Facebook page, and they don't have any. Oh, wait. What you don't see is the private messaging. And they want to create this Facebook page like they're the greatest Christian in the world. And then they sit there and PM people and say wicked things and abominable things and blasphemous things and scornful things and critical things. And they work on good, decent Christians till they break them down. Phone's ringing. Pick it up. Okay. Ding. You have a message. Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something. Okay. But I'm saying this. Is I'm telling you what. Young mothers who were content in being married and content living at home and content being a housewife and a helpmeet have been influenced by scorners till they ruin their spirit. Men that used to love God and are excited about the things of God got on some of these stupid things, and you know what? Their spirits are ruined now. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. And I wanted to explain to you, this is my responsibility. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. Why is truth so important? Because truth will establish you. That means make you solid, make you steadfast in your Christian life. The truth is a great foundation to build a life on, but lies are shifting sand. And a house built on lies will crumble just as assuredly as the house built on the sand. But if you will take this book and you'll read it every day, and you'll say, God, I want the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth when it hurts to know the truth. I want you to shine upon my life with the light of the Word of God. I want to get so close to your holiness and spend so much time with you that everything that's wrong, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a holy people following a holy God. And you pursue the truth found in that book, and you sit in church with a heart like you used to have. That was excited about hearing the Word of God preached. And a tenderness that used to respond and used to make decisions. You get back to that, and I'm going to tell you something. You have no problem slowly starting heading in the right direction, and you'll be getting into a place in an arena where you're able to take that songbook and worship God and pray and worship God and come to church and worship God and in the privacy of your prayer life worship God, and you'll have a relationship with God. Folks that are over here, they don't read much Bible. They don't have a prayer life. They haven't worshiped God in so long, they don't even know what it is anymore. Okay? They don't influence people for salvation and for eternity. But they've got all these lies. So that if anybody dare point out their backslidden condition or their carnality, if you want to live here, you're going to choose to live here. But I'm going to tell you something. I decided to get on a journey years ago, and this is the direction I want to go. Because when I go to church, I want to worship God. I want to know the truth. I want purity protection in my life. I want purity protection for this church. And so, listen to me, folks. Get this. As you seek out the truth, you will be established in your Christian life. You won't be blown around with every wind of doctrine, and you will not be influenced by liars. Because you will have spent so much time in the truth, with the truth, studying the truth, believing the truth, obeying the truth. But you know what? You'll be able to spot a lie a mile away. You've heard this collision illustration? Very simple one. But the question was asked years ago by a bank teller who was told, watch for counterfeit money. How will I know counterfeit money? And the answer that the bank manager told her was this. For the first several weeks, we're going to have you do nothing but handle real money. And after several weeks of handling real money and getting used to the way it feels, getting used to the way it handles, getting used to the touch of it, we can put you then behind that teller window, and the first time you touch a counterfeit bill, you'll know it. Folks, I'm trying to help you. Some of you have spent the last year of your life handling counterfeit currency. Watch this. And the real stuff now feels odd to you. The truth offends you. You get mad when you hear the truth. Because you've just dealt and dealt and dealt in the trade of lies. But over here, if you get into truth and deal with truth and handle truth and obey truth and read truth and study truth, and that's what you spend your life doing, you touch a lie. I don't care if it's a partial lie. Man, you can spot it a mile away. The defamation of the truth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been able to spend. Lord, we've literally scraped the surface of this subject. We could probably do two or three more Sunday nights, but I feel like we've preached what we ought to preach and said what we ought to say. And for those that want more, it's in the book. They can dig it out. Make us a people that's hungry for the truth. Give us young people that love the truth, that want the truth, seek the truth. Get us back into our Bibles during this summer, dear God. Help us, dear God, to pursue you, to build a strong relationship with you, spend much time in your presence. I would pray, Lord, that you'd give us the wisdom that we need. The devil is a trickster and he's a deceiver. He did it to Eve, and he's done it to millions of people since then. He comes with a lie, and if we begin to believe his lies, oh my goodness sakes. The terrible path that it takes the child of God, takes the child of God down. Help us, Lord, to rededicate ourselves to the truth.